Okay, hello. So, hello, everybody. I'm Evelyn, and I'm going to talk about why you need a communist perspective in the general election. As many of you know, the Spartacist League supports Tusk, and we think that the CPGB and the other left groups should do the same. The CPGB has ridiculed us for this, but they themselves offered no way forward, so we challenged them to this debate. And the fundamental question at issue in the debate is this: what are the tasks of communists in the coming election? I'm going to argue that those tasks consist of fighting for two inseparable goals: working class unity and communist hegemony. In fact, just before I get into it, I want to lay out a couple of general rules of communist work. Working class unity is essential to build the fighting capacity of the working class to defend its interests against the British imperialist rulers. And secondly, the only way to achieve the broadest possible unity of the working class is through communist hegemony, communist leadership of the day-to-day struggles. And that also includes showing the existing leadership as an obstacle to that. So to turn to the reality that we face with the coming general election in Britain, there's obviously a crying need for working class unity. The Tories are finished. The country's in ruins. The working class faces a miserable wages, miserable healthcare, miserable education and housing. Their situation is dire. And what does the union leadership tell them? Tells them you must support Starmer, a Starmer government. Starmer, who's widely hated for his support to the genocide in Palestine, for his promise to stick to Tory austerity. Sir Keir Starmer will deprive kids of their benefits. And there's also strongly felt sentiment within the working class that the workers' movement and the left is too divided, too fragmented, and that there needs to be unity. But the question is, how do you do that? So at this point, I want to put our challenge to the CPGB, which is this: is communism relevant to this situation? Do you think it has any specific role to play? As far as I can tell from reading Weekly Worker, the CPGB looks at the elections, kind of shrugs its shoulders, and says, well, it would be better if there was an opposition to support, but there isn't an obvious choice. So maybe we'll vote for Tusk. Maybe we'll vote for Galloway. Maybe we'll vote for both. Comrade Conrad muses, well, maybe we'll vote for the Communist Party of Britain, which called for a vote to Labour, to Starmer in the local elections and has called for a vote to Labour since everyone can remember. And indeed, maybe the CPGB itself will vote Labour in the general election if there's no left candidate to vote for. You know, what this boils down to is maybe we'll cross the class line, maybe we won't. Maybe we'll be on the side of the working class, maybe not. Say what you like about the musings in Weekly Worker on the election. One thing I just want to focus on is that it has nothing to do with the struggle for either class unity or communist hegemony. So, in the Spartacist League, we joined Tusk because it offers the possibility of a working class, of a united working class opposition to Starmer in the elections. And we fight inside Tusk for issues that would strengthen it as a working class opposition to Starmer. We joined it to wage the best campaign we can to show in practice that you need communist leadership to unite the working class against Starmer, and to show also so that Tusk's appeasement of the Labour lefts is a barrier to unity. At every point, the duty of communists is to demonstrate the need to split with these pro-capitalist, pro-imperialist leaders, to split the base of the working class from those leaders. So how this will play out is we intend to stand for election under the Tusk name, but at the same time, we will run our own communist campaign. It's not news to us that Tusk's program is Labourite reformism. It consists of a long list of tepid reforms that are calculated to satisfy everybody, to infuriate nobody, because they're intended to conciliate the left MPs and trade union bureaucrats. Our election campaign has the opposite effect and the opposite impact. Our demands add up to a frontal assault on the establishment, the city bankers, the crown, Britain's overlords in Washington. And by drawing a sharp line against British imperialism and against Starmer, by definition, our campaign is unacceptable to the Labour lefts. We say workers must run the country. Free Palestine, down with NATO, expropriate the banks, citizenship for all immigrants, down with the monarchy. I'll give you an example of how we draw a line against the Labour lefts in the pro-Palestinian movement, for example. We put it squarely to left MPs like Zahra Sultana. You can be on the side of the Palestinians, or you can be for a Starmer government, but you can't be for both. So inside Tusk, we insist that you should only vote for MPs who will oppose a Starmer government. This is the main point of contention with the Socialist Party. But our position of not voting, only voting for MPs who will oppose a Starmer government, is a no-no for the Socialist Party, because it would be unacceptable to Jeremy Corbyn, to Zahra Sultana, and the likes. But what does it mean to support MPs who support us? It's just backdoor support to a Starmer government. That's what we mean that Tusk's own program undermines it as a working class opposition to Starmer. So Tusk is not even putting up a fight for its own united front. It's absolutely toothless when it comes to uniting the anti-Starmer campaigns, passively accepts that Galloway operates on his turf, Tusk on their turf, everybody else on their own turf, which leaves the opposition to Starmer weak and divided and everybody waiting for Corbyn. So, to conclude, I want to return to our challenge to the CPGB and to spell it out quite clearly. Seems to me the difference between our two groups comes down to this. Our aim is to show that communism is not only relevant, but also necessary in the coming election. The CPGB seems to want to act as the living proof that communism is irrelevant to the elections. It's as if you think that communism is just an abstract idea to be preserved for better times ahead. We urge the CPGB to think again. Join Tusk. Join the fight for working class unity, and we will be more than happy to engage with you in the battle for communist hegemony. Thank you.
Right. In the next speaker is Mike McNair.
You also need to allow me to start the video.
Yep, you should be able to now.
Okay. Straightforward start point. We have in the past applied to join Tusk and have been refused on the grounds that we have insufficient social weight to be a party to the Tusk operation. I'm not clear whether the Spartacist League Britain has in fact been allowed to join Tusk or has merely been able to attend the Left Unity conference because you caught the Socialist Party by surprise. Having said that, there is a substantial difference between us. And the first difference, there are substantial differences between us. And the first difference is fairly straightforward, that we stand on the politics of the third and fourth Congresses of the Comintern in relation to the United Front, in the sense that we recognise that the Labour Party remains a bourgeois workers' party in spite of being very right-wing. We recognise that in reality, the Labour Party, as it was founded in 1900, the Parliamentary Labour Party, was a liberal imperialist party, that the party The Labour Party, as it was refounded in 1918, was the party of support for the war. It was the party of the exclusion of the communists from the Labour Party. And nonetheless, communists argue that fighting for the unity of the working class requires the pursuit of the united front, including with leaders, the right-wing leaders of the labor movement, and not characterizing them, not simply regarding them in some sense as social fascists. And from that point of view, the line which says that it is crossing class lines to vote for anybody who will vote for a Starmer government is perfectly clearly an aspect of what Leon Trotsky called the third period of the Comintern's errors. And secondly, in relation to Tusk, okay, I said we were excluded from Tusk. It was also the case, in fact, much more recently than this, that Galloway's Workers' Party was excluded from Tusk. Galloway's Workers' Party was excluded from Tusk because every participant in the Tusk Council has a veto. And that's not something which they've got rid of in the recent past when they've lost support from trade union bureaucrats. It's something which they promised to trade union bureaucrats. It's something which they promised to trade union bureaucrats in Hannah Sells' 1st of May article. So that in fact, what they propose is the Labour Party only worse, reconstituting the Labour Party on the basis of more unambiguous dictatorship of the trade union bureaucracy, more unambiguously creating a bourgeois workers' party than the existing Labour Party is. Okay, so in that situation, we are willing to say that nonetheless, Tusk candidates represent, as far as this election is concerned, a left vote in the alternative to this very right-wing Labour Party. But we certainly don't see Tusk as a project as in any sense superior to the Communist Party of Britain standing in certain constituencies, or to the Workers' Party of Britain, or to various other options of people who are standing under the name communist. So communism is relevant. Yes, communism is important to this campaign. It's not, however, that communism is important to this campaign by virtue of calling for a split with the Starmerites as the first step and the first task to be conducted. Communism is important to this campaign in terms of presenting, as far as possible, a communist political program. And in relation to presenting, as far as possible, a communist political program, one element, we have to do this in an agitational way rather than purely and simply a propagandist way. And then the question is, what elements of our program are we attempting to insert into this election campaign? Now, yes, one of those elements is communism, the name, the word, the name communism, the idea that communism is exists and represents an alternative. That actually partly a question of fighting for the names, but in that sense, actually, it's a paradox that this is just my view, not a CPGB view. In certain senses, the Workers' Party of Britain is slightly stronger than Tusk. Tusk is evasive around the question of the war in Palestine and is silent about the war in Ukraine. Down with NATO, yes, but down with the war in Ukraine. No war. Yeah? That's a fundamental dividing line in the election, and one which we want to project as far as possible. Secondly, the question of the question of party is posed, and the comrades from the Spartacist League are quite correct in saying that the question of communism is posed, but the question of communism is not posed for making a better task, but that the question of communism poses breaking with the method of broad frontism and struggling for the unity of the communist left. That meaning by that, not necessarily only those who call themselves communist, because of course the Spartacist comrades are undoubtedly communists, although they don't call themselves communist, but the unity of those who stand for the fundamental ideas of communism in terms of the overthrow of the capitalist regime and in terms of the the struggle against imperialism, the defeatist attitude to our own states, wars overseas, and democratic political functioning. So, in that context, actually, the regime of Tusk, with its mandatory consensus, its mandatory veto powers of the trade unions in relation to the decisions of the party, veto powers of the trade unions, which are actually, as I said, stronger than the Labour Party's veto powers, Tusk is by no means an engine of the unity of the working class. It's an engine of, I've called it in the past, third period Bernsteinism, because it's third period on the one hand, in sense of characterizing the Labour Party as having ceased altogether to be a workers' party and saying that you have to absolutely have an organizational split from the Labour Party. And it's Bernsteinist in terms of the actual politics that it put forward, which, and that's reflected in the proposals in relation to the its line in relation to the trade union bureaucracy, its structure in relation to the organizational structure. And in the organizational structure and the commitment to building a new Labour Party based on the trade unions, based on a federalist and so on construction, the Socialist Party of England and Wales, and with it Tusk, is unambiguously anti-communist. It seeks to repeat the disastrous experience of the Labour Party, only just starting again on the actually substantially weaker foundation than the foundation of the Labour Party in 1900. So, are we? Is this a matter of there is a fundamental principle at stake? Actually, no. What's at stake in this election is tactics, as between different left organizations, about how to insert the fundamental ideas of communism in an election which is dominated by the transition from capital's first 11 in the form of the Tory Party to capital's second 11 in the form of the Labour Party, but which capital's second 11 in the form of the Labour Party remains also the dominant party of the working class, in relation to which it remains necessary to pursue a united front policy towards the Labour Party, not
Mike,
just
your time is
towards,
up, please.
right, not just towards certain sorts of leftists. That's it.
Thank you. I'm really, really sorry because of some slight problem between the host and me. I'm afraid Mike has gone over by 1 minute. So I will give the Spartacists an extra minute.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank
So,
you.
Vincent, if you would like to, please continue.
All right, quickly, we got into Tusk. We were accepted. And if the CPGB was barred from entering, we are certainly against that. And we would urge you to reapply again. And we commit ourselves to fight with Tusk to let you in, just to clarify this. Before I start with my main presentation, the task is quite simple here. Starmer has drawn a clear class line. He hates everyone that's for socialism, the working class, or Palestine. He's the one drawing the line. So the task is to build a working class opposition to Starmer. And now, in the name of the Third Congress and the Fourth Congress of the Comintern, we learn from the CPGB that, no, actually, we might vote for Starmer. Now, we, of course, we also stand with the Comintern, and I will demonstrate how the CPGB doesn't in a minute, but you cannot use Lenin in order to justify voting for Starmer. I'm sorry. The task is to build an opposition to him. So I want to take a bit of a step back exactly and talk, address this question of communist unity and how can we use it in these elections. So our approach to unity is based on Lenin, and we call ourselves communist, by the way. And Lenin remains the most successful at building communist parties. During the First World War, Lenin came to understand that revolutionaries were weak and isolated because they were in an alliance with open traitors to socialism. The anti-capitalists were in the same party as those supporting capitalism. The anti-imperialists were stuck with the pro-imperialists. And the right wing was always dominant, not because they only because they controlled trade unions and were connected to the bourgeoisie, but also because the unity, this broad church, could only be maintained by constantly making concession to the right wing. So Lenin wrote, referring to them as the opportunists, "Today, unity with the opportunist actually means subordinating the working class to their own national bourgeoisie and an alliance with the latter for the purpose of oppressing other nations and of fighting for dominant nation privileges. It, unity with the opportunist, means splitting the revolutionary proletariat of all countries." So Lenin understood that this sort of unity was catastrophic for the workers' movement, just like the unity of the workers' movement with Starmer is catastrophic. And he fought for a split politically and organizationally against the opportunists. But he also fought the centrist as well. That means those who spoke of communism in general, but in practice were for keeping the unity with the social chauvinists, the most famous being Karl Kautsky. So as long as the communists liquidate their banner into an alliance with pro-imperialist forces, the communists will remain weak and subordinated to the ruling class. So the fundamental lesson of Leninism, which I want to establish from the get-go, is that communist unity can only be achieved through a rupture, a break, a split from opportunism and centrism. So fast forward today to Britain. Lenin's point is still completely relevant and remains the central reason why communists are so weak. So take the Communist Party of Britain, for example, which has just called to vote for Starmer in the local elections. The CPB has also many people leading trade union and is an integral part of the pro-capitalist trade union bureaucracy. Just one example is Alex Gordon, CC Central Committee member of the CPB, which is also president of the RMT Union, and he lawyers for Mick Lynch and defended canceling the strikes when the Queen died. And the SWP, too, the Socialist Workers' Party, has many people in leading posts of the NAU. They lawyer for the leadership of the NAU, they shield it and offer justification for their betrayals. Same thing with the Socialist Party, whose main activity in UNITE consists in maintaining a block with UNITE leader Sharon Graham, an open supporter of NATO and Israel. So this has concrete implication. It means that during last year's strike wave, while the trade union bureaucracy was leading the struggle to defeat, all these groups refused to oppose the bureaucrats and instead propped them up in order to preserve their post, contributing to the defeat. And it is the reason why today there is no real working class opposition to Keir Starmer's Labour, because doing so requires frontally opposing the union leaders and the left Labourites. It is this alliance by the so-called communists with the union bureaucracy and Labourites which ties the working class directly to Keir Starmer and the imperialist bourgeoisie, and which explains why the communist movement is so weak and divided. So the task of genuine communists and the way to unite them is to fight for a split against those opportunists to maintain unity with pro-imperialist leaders. And now I want to get to the CPGB. So the CPGB in general knows that the left is weak and divided and advocates communist unity. What they mean by this is to appeal to the CPB, the SWP, the SP, and all the other groups to come together and form one single communist party, provided that all groups agree on communism and for freedom of discussion and debate. Now, comrades, this is not communist unity. This is not the third or fourth Congress of the Comintern. This is unity with opportunism. It is unity with the supporters of Mick Lynch, of Sharon Graham, of Jeremy Corbyn, of Sir Keir Starmer himself. So to propose to bring together the existing left into one party based on some abstract commitment to communism and democracy amounts to advocating the creation of a Labour Party Mark II, except at one step removed. It is a complete repudiation of Leninism and an open embrace of Social Democratic Second International, which, by the way, is constantly praised in the pages of the Weekly Worker. So Lenin's conditions, and the whole Comintern was built on this, Lenin's condition for unity was a split with opportunism. There would have never been any communist parties, any communist international or October Revolution if Lenin had not succeeded in this. But this is precisely what the CPGB rejects. And what is even more damning is that the CPGB knows that all these groups, the CPB, SW, PSP, are opportunists. The Weekly Workers prints article about that. Yet you do not put breaking such alliances as the central condition for communist unity. What is that if not the very illustration of opportunism? Furthermore, the CPGB project will never work simply because you cannot unite all these people on some abstract commitment to communism and freedom of discussion. The problem of the British left is not that they never thought of uniting, or that they don't like the idea of communism, or that they don't like debate and disagreements, or that they have an attitude of diplomacy. These are all idealist explanations of the problem of the British left. The problem is material, comrades. Alliances of class collaboration with bureaucrats and laborites at the expense of the interests of the working class. This is what divides the left. This is what keeps it weak. So to just appeal for unity under the word communism without addressing this crucial problem would not only fail, but it guarantees the repetition of the same mistakes and betrayal that we have seen in the strike wave, the Corbyn years, and really since a century. So there needs to be a working class opposition to Starmer. If that's not our starting point, then, you know, I don't know what you're doing. And I thought it was quite telling that Mike McNair said, well, you know, a split with Starmer is not necessarily posed. Of course it's posed. What else are we doing? Tusk is an obvious vehicle for this. But then the task of communists is to use the elections to advance the split with opportunism. The CPB, the SWP, the SP will all capitulate to Starmer in one way or another, either by openly supporting him, like the CPB, or by supporting left Labour MPs. And it seems that the CPGB is considering doing the same thing. You're in the same lot. So the task is not to unite all these groups, these very small opportunist group, into one big opportunist party. The task is to split these groups along class line. Unity or split with the laborites and union bureaucrat? That is the question the Spartacist League has posed to the left. That is Leninism. That is the application of the third and fourth congresses to today. And so we urge the CPGB to reorient.
30 seconds.
I'm done. Thank you.
Well, early. Excellent. Thank you so much. Jack Conrad, you are next and last.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, comrades, for your openings. I have to say that from my angle, the key question isn't a split with Starmer, i.e. the crucial thing is not to vote Labour Party in the forthcoming general election. It does strike me that the key strategic questions can be summed up under two headings. First of all, a break with Labourism, and secondly, the question of a Communist Party. Now, Comrade Vincent sort of mocks us for calling for unity on a communist basis in terms of the existing left. And meanwhile, he urges us, along, I presume, with your list of other opportunists, to join a load of other opportunists under the banner of Tusk, where trade union bureaucrats, and including the Spartacist League now, exercise a veto. My understanding is that any group that's affiliated to Tusk has a veto. So yes, this is particularly promised to the RMT, but I mean, unless I'm wrong, I think the Spartacist League has a veto. But that one aside, Comrade Vincent has quite rightly described Socialist Party in England and Wales as opportunist. Okay, so you're joining the opportunists. We don't think that there's anything unprincipled in doing that. We've been in unity in various organisations with the Socialist Party in England and Wales, for example, the Socialist Alliance. But the crucial question from our angle, when we were in unity with such opportunists, is precisely to fight for unity around communism, which isn't a vague question. For us, communism is described in our draft program, both our maximum program and our minimum program. Now, we don't put that forward on the basis that comrades have to agree with every dot and comma, but that is the program that we are fighting for. And from our point of view, the key question is precisely a communist party. And what the comrades, I think, fail to see is that as well as fighting for the unity of the existing left in the fight for a communist party, inevitably that involves splits. So the idea that somehow we think that all we need to do is convince Hannah Sell or Alex Kalinikos or whoever in this group or that group, and we all sort of chummily get together under a vague banner, is to completely understand our perspectives. Our perspectives are split, yes. We don't know with who, but we know on what lines, but also unity. Unity and splits. So, for example, if we look back at least at the history of the CPGB, it came about as a result of splits and fusions. So, for example, we had the Communist Unity Group, which split from the Socialist Labour Party. We had the comrades around Sylvia Pankhurst. We had the British Socialist Party. The crucial question is the programme. And as I said, we're putting forward, we're defending, we're advocating our draft programme. And the idea that you would describe unity around that, unless I'm mistaken, to describe that as a Labour Party Mark II is risible. Clearly, what we're talking about is a communist party. And of course, for a communist party, what we need is precisely freedom of debate, freedom of criticism. Without that, what we have is a sect, some sort of leadership cult, or some sort of bureaucracy, which I think would be useless to the working class. Okay, so in terms of voting Labour, describing that as crossing class lines, again, I would be interested to hear from the comrades when the Labour Party ceased being a bourgeois workers' party. Was it just with Starmer? Or was it a bourgeois workers' party under Jeremy Corbyn? Was it a bourgeois workers' party, I don't know, under Harold Wilson? I would be interested in hearing a bit of history. From our point of view, at least, our assessment is while the class nature of the Labour Party has always been under question, at the moment, the contradiction remains unresolved. It remains this peculiar thing, bourgeois in terms of politics, the comrade had described it, pro-imperialist, pro-NATO, you know, pro-Israel, of course, that isn't a change, is it? That has been the history of the Labour Party. Comrade Mike, you referred to the Labour Party in World War I. It joined the war cabinet. Now that is the party that the CPGB applied to affiliate to. Okay, it applied to affiliate on the basis of not suppressing its criticisms, of fighting that leadership. And on that basis, we would certainly join the Labour Party, and we would certainly consider join in an organization like Tusk. But the problem is precisely with Tusk is what the aim is precisely with a veto anyway, isn't communist unity. It's the unity of opportunists around opportunism, which just strikes us as, okay, when it comes to the forthcoming general election, on the basis of looking around, there's something positive about Tusk, not much, but it isn't in any way distinguishable from the CPB or George Galloway's organization.
30 seconds,
whatever. That would do it. I'll finish there. Thank you.